Praise the Lord. Message tonight, God set his love on you. What a beautiful thought out of the Word of God. And we're going to start with Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 11. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore ye shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. God set his love upon us, not because of anything we were, but because of who he is. Let's be honest, we weren't much. Nothing great about us in ourselves. In fact, we were sinful, independent, proud. God resistors, not sure we wanted to serve him. Pull of the flesh, the pull of the world, wanting to go our own way. But God set his love on us, not because of who we were, but because of who he is. If you can set your love on someone, a child, a person, someone in need, a destitute widow, an orphan child somewhere in the world or at home, if we can set our love on somebody, not just a random act of kindness, that's wonderful, but if we can set our love upon someone to really lift them out of where they are, to educate them, to give them a financial footing, to minister to their life spiritually, to do something that'll bless their family for the rest of their life. If we can set our love upon someone, how much more can God set his love on us, on people? Think of the people that you have showed kindness to, people that you have ministered to, as I just mentioned, that you have poured out. There was no obligation on your part, and you didn't expect anything on their part. You just wanted to bless somebody. You just had it in your heart. That person, I want to increase them. I want to bless that family. I want to do something that will change their life and bring them forth in the blessing of God. Well, God set his love on us. God set his love on us. He lifted us out of our low estate. He graced us with eternal life. He brought us into his care and into his comfort. God set his love on us. Just let God love you. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Surrender everything to him. Psalm 113, 7 to 8. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He raises the poor out of the dust. He gave this dust a chance at life. Romans 5, 8 to 10. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, displays, demonstrates his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much, or much more than, having now been justified, just as if I'd never sinned, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved continually, daily, by his life, his resurrection life and power. God demonstrated and demonstrates his love toward us. God set his love on us, and that's why we are where we are. And that's why we've been lifted like we have. And we have understanding and wisdom and knowledge to walk with God. And our lives are blessed with his promises. It's because God set his love on us, not because of who we were, but because of who he is. 1 John 4:9-10, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the bleeding sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In this the love of God was manifested. God sent his Son. In this is love, not that we loved God, because we initially didn't. We were enemies at war with God in our mind and spirit. But he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. That's exactly how it works, isn't it? We love him because he first loved us. He demonstrated his love, and there's something in us now that just wants to give ourselves back to him and serve him and love him and surrender and honor him and glorify him with everything we have and everything we do. We love him because he first loved us. Psalm 91, what a promise, verse 14. God says, because you have set your love on him. Because he has set his love upon me, says the Lord, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Put your name in there. Because he has set his love upon me, God says, therefore I will deliver you, because you set your love on God now. I will set you on high, because you have known my name. You will call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. David was so overwhelmed with the kindness and love of God that he went in and sat before the Lord and poured out his heart to God. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18 to 22. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Is this how you treat people, Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. You know all about us, Lord. You know our misgivings and our struggles and things we deal with. But Lord, your love supersedes all that. You know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things. Lord, it's your heart. It's your word. It's your desire to bless and help people. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, Jehovah Jesus, according to all that we have heard with our ears. We don't have enough words to even begin to describe how much God has done for us. David went in and sat before the Lord. He said, so overwhelmed by the presence of God, by the kindness of God, as it unfolded in his life from a young boy on the shepherd, on the fields, and all the deliverance of the Lord, and all the might and power, and what God had brought him to the king of the nation with all the abundance and all the wealth he could imagine, the greatness of God, the worship of God, the tabernacle on Zion's hill, everything had come into such glorious place. He said, Lord, is this how you treat people? This isn't the manner of man. This is how you treat people, Lord. We're so used to criticism and jealousy and strife and argument, coldness, rejection, unfriending. We're so used to betrayal and division that we can hardly believe that God loves us as much as he does, but that he does. God set his love on you. God set his love on you. And now he's spoken of things to come for you and your family. Let's receive the love of God. The Apostle John says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. It's not easy to believe how great God loves us. It's something we have to work in our spirit. Lord, you love me that much. I've known so much hatred, misuse, rejection. God says, I want you to receive and I want you to believe the love that I have for you. I'm your Lord and I will guide you and I will take care of you. Luke 15, 17 to 24, the prodigal son. He'd gone astray. We're all prodigals until we're home. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father God, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, to rejoice. And there was music and singing and dancing and laughter in the house. Hallelujah. We're all prodigals until we're home. A broken, sinful life, a broken, sinful young man stumbling across the field of life. And the father's eyes were scanning the horizon every day. And when he saw that lonely figure, the Bible says the father picked up his pace and the father ran to meet him and had compassion and threw his arms around him and kissed him, and hot tears fell on his neck. The son blurted out, I'm not worthy. I've sinned. I'm just make me a servant. The father said, listen, let's not talk about your sin. That's been dealt with in your repentance and in your return and in my forgiveness. What I want to talk about is how I'm going to bless you and the kind of future I'm going to give you and the good things you're going to inherit and experience. And we're going to dance and we're going to rejoice and we're going to be merry. Make merry. You've returned to your father's house. Is that how you treat people? Is that how kind you are? How merciful? So gracious, so abundant in your love and care? God set his love on us. Isaiah 5, 1 to 4. The prophet says, now let me sing to my well-beloved. Says, I want to sing a song to the Lord. I want to sing a song of love to my Lord. A song about his vineyard, his people. Now let me sing to my well-beloved. A song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved, Jesus, God the Father, has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. People so disregarding to the love and the kindness of God. God says, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? I mean, what a picture. God pleading with his people. God humbling himself. Think of it, before his people. What more could I have done that you would have served me and followed me? Please, judge, let me know if there's something on my part. But we all know there isn't. What a love of God. He held nothing back. There's nothing more he could have done and is doing and will do for us than is ever eternally possible. And we just stand in the fulfillment and the walk and the grace of that every day as God pours out his life and his love and leads us on to eternal glory. I don't have this scripture on the screen, but it's 2 Samuel 12. It's a time when David sinned against the Lord, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and set Uriah into a place in the battle where he knew her husband Uriah would be slain and his life taken. David committed that disobedience and that evil against the Lord. Bible says there was a sword of consequences. The sword never left his house, the sword of consequences, but God came to him, and Nathan the prophet came to David and began to speak to him in the word of the Lord. And God was speaking to David. He said, David, I anointed you and I delivered you from all your enemies. I gave you so much. I gave you the throne. I gave you Israel. I gave you all the abundance you would ever want. I gave you the ultimate of spiritual life available at that point in history. Zion's Hill. God says, I have given you everything. I have done so much. I have given you this and I have given you that. And God said, if that seemed too little for you, I would have done much more. If that was too little for you, David, if that didn't satisfy you, I would have done much more. That's how I am. I'm more willing than you are to receive. I'm more willing to give than you are to receive. Why did you despise the commandment of the Lord and do this evil in the sight of the Lord? It shows us the heart of God again. The heart of God. If that seemed too little, I would have done much more. Besides, I would have added this and this. He's a God who's abundant in grace and mercy and kindness. As we are here tonight, think of the goodness of God. Think of the kindness of God. And think of how it's being poured out on you and your family and your life and on into the future. There's nothing more the Lord could have done than what he has done and what he's doing. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 to 11. Then King David said, Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Not the kindness of a man, of a person. I want to show somebody the kindness of God. I want to treat somebody the way God would treat them. Is there not still someone to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him. And you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. The kindness of God to a person called Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel 4:4 says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. A young man who, as a child, experienced a fall. He was from the wayward house of Saul. He was cast out. He was far from where he had been born. He was in a place of rejection. But there was somebody who wanted to bring mercy and kindness to him. You know, Mephibosheth is the story of every person here. It's the story of every human being. Because you and I are Mephibosheth. When I read this story, I don't know how you read it, but when I read Mephibosheth, I read me, Phibosheth. His name means breathing shame. Breathing shame. He was in the house of Machir, which means sold, enslaved. And the Bible says all of us were sold under sin. We were in slavery to sin. Outcasts, rejects. Far from where we should have been. He was the son of Amiel. Amiel means people of God. He's in the house of Machir, sold under sin. But there's something, there's some distant memory in him. A memory of God-likeness. That we were created for something more than we are. That there's something wrong inside of us. There's something more that God has for us. That memory lingers in the heart of every person on earth. in the ache of their soul, in the drive that's in them, in the longing that's in them. It's a desire to rule and reign in life like they really can. He was from Lodabar. Lodabar means nothing, no pasture, without pasture. People unshepherded, people uncared for. That's how we were without Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. And a sheep needs a shepherd, or a sheep will be taken down by predators every time. There is not a sheep that can handle its own way through this world, this hostile world. The sheep are always taken down by the wolves. But the greater David, Christ the Lord, said, Is there anyone that I can show the kindness of God to? Is there someone that I can treat like God treats? And there was a man, his name was Mephibosheth, and he was called to the king's presence. The Lord called us by name, and now we sit at the king's table. We eat bread at the table of the Lord. We're in his presence, we're in his house. He said, I'm going to restore the lost inheritance of your father Saul, of your father Adam. God says, I'm going to restore the entire inheritance that was taken in Genesis 3 by the thief, by the deceiver of this world. I'm going to restore the lost inheritance to my people completely, and they will eat bread at my table continually. 2 Samuel 9:13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. There's not a believer that doesn't know how true this scripture is. Not a believer that doesn't know lameness. It remains in us. There's a lameness. There's a fallenness that remains in all of us while we're eating bread at the king's table in this life. But one day things will change. You know, we're not dealing with our sinfulness anymore. Really, we're not. We may struggle with some temptations, but really, we're not dealing with our sinfulness anymore. That God dealt with, that Christ dealt with when he called us out of Lodabar. We know who we are. We're no longer a dead dog of a life. We sit at the king's table. We rule and reign with Christ. We're not dealing with our sinfulness anymore, but we are dealing with our fallenness. But one day that too will be dealt with in the great day of the Lord. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's close out with one last scripture. Worship team, please come. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, in Christ, purifies himself, just as he is pure. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. How many tonight are so thankful the Lord set his love upon you, raised you up, Just let him love you. Let him love you. Every day, let him love you. Just because we are making our way through a pilgrim world and dealing with this or that, that has nothing to do with God loving or not loving us. He's comforting. He's caring. He's helping us win battles. He's helping us through trial. He's perfecting our faith. He's refining our faith. We're proving out our faith before principalities and powers. We're making our way to the celestial city with joy. God set his love upon us. Just let him love you. Let's stand tonight. Great love of our God. Hallelujah. The altars are always open if you'd like prayer tonight or want to come and consecrate yourself to the Lord in a special way. Let's close out with worship. Let's thank God for his kindness tonight. The very kindness of God. The very love of God that's come upon us through Jesus our Savior.